From WBUR Boston and NPR, I'm Jane Clayson, and this is On Point. Back in 2007, then-President George W. Bush began his State of the Union address with this.
Tonight, I have the high privilege and distinct honor of my own as the first president to begin the State of the Union message with these words. Madam Speaker.
Now Nancy Pelosi wants that title again, but not everyone in her party is on board. This hour on Point, Nancy Pelosi and the leadership fight in Congress. And later in the hour, what's behind GM's big layoffs and the latest from the U.S.-Mexican border. Join us. We'd love to have you. Is Nancy Pelosi the right person for the job? We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Or join us anytime at onpointradio.org. or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. Molly Ball joins me first from Washington. She's national political correspondent for Time Magazine. Molly, great to have you. Thanks for being here.
Great to be here.
A lot of drama amid the rebellion by some Democrats who want Nancy Pelosi to step aside. Talk us through some of the negotiations right now, Molly.
Well, I think it's fair to say it's a little bit anticlimactic, and there is somewhat less drama than might have been anticipated ahead of the leadership vote. This is a closed-door vote of the Democratic caucus conducted in private by secret ballot, and that is to decide who the caucus chooses as its speaker candidate, as its leader, as its leaders.
Mm-hmm.
And then the actual vote on the floor, which officially... in which members of Congress officially vote for the Speaker of the House, that is in January. So the fact that the vote is being held now is already somewhat of a concession.
Mm-hmm.
You will recall that the caucuses, both caucuses in the Senate and the Republican caucus in the House, have already chosen their leaders. But Nancy Pelosi agreed to put off this vote for several weeks after the election to give new members a time to make decisions, and as a sort of concession to the her many critics within the caucus. But what we've seen her do since then is really put on a sort of bravura display of her abilities as a politician. She has relentlessly lobbied all of the members of her caucus. She has summoned every possible activist group on the left side of the spectrum, from the far left to the center, all of them coming out to express support for her, or almost all. And while 2 years ago, in her bid for Democratic leader, that she did have an opponent, Representative Tim Ryan, and he got about a third of the caucus to vote for him in that leadership vote. This time, no one has declared that they are running against her, and so it's hard to lose an election in which you're unopposed. And so there has been a letter by 16 Democrats who said they would not vote for her on the floor. But that's the floor vote that comes in January. And if she's already won the caucus vote at that time, then the pitch becomes different. Then the pitch becomes her saying to members, are you really going to vote for a Republican when that's the alternative? Or are you going to support Pelosi once she's the choice of the caucus?
Here is Congressman Anthony Brown, a Democrat from Maryland, on Morning Joe on MSNBC last week explaining why he is a stalwart Pelosi supporter.
We need to put our most experienced field marshals on the field in the 116th Congress to go toe-to-toe with Mitch McConnell in the Senate, with the president and the administration. We've got a lot of important and will prove to be difficult work to do. So we need our very best, our very most experienced.
And here is Massachusetts Democrat Seth Moulton after the midterms on MSNBC calling for new leadership to replace Nancy Pelosi.
The American people sent a very clear message in the election last week that they want new approaches to politics and new leaders in Washington. If we answer that call for new leadership by reinstalling the same status quo establishment leadership that we've had in this party since 2006, then we're letting down the American people. And the overwhelming majority of Democrats want new leadership in the House of Representatives.
Status quo establishment leadership. Talk about this test, Molly Ball, of Nancy Pelosi's ability to balance the wishes of more moderate Democrats against this aggressive new crop of young progressives who want to see change and who seem more interested in confrontation than compromise.
Well, I think it is not so much an ideological as a generational conflict.
Right.
A lot of the new members who are elected are moderates elected from swing districts, but a lot of them are from a younger generation, many first-time candidates. But with all due respect to Congressman Moulton, the signal that the voters sent in the election was that they wanted Democrats in control of the House of Representatives. And despite Republicans putting tens of millions of dollars into a campaign to against Nancy Pelosi specifically, she has been for years the main target of Republicans' attacks. Their election argument being, if you elect this Democrat in your district, no matter how nice they may seem, they're going to put the terrible Nancy Pelosi in charge. That fell flat. The voters didn't go for that argument. The Democrats are slated for, when all the votes are counted, a historic mm-hmm. victory, the biggest vote margin since Watergate, a 40-seat pickup. So it's hard to say that the message that the voters sent was somehow against what the Democrats are offering. Now, there is a lot of angst, and I don't want to understate it. There is a lot of angst in the Democratic ranks about the fact that despite the fact that there is all this fresh energy in the lower rungs of the party, the leaders in Congress, which is now the only thing that they will control in Washington, are all above 70. And
right. Nancy Pelosi, 78. Minority Whip Steny Hoyer, 79. Number three leader in the House, James Clyburn, 78. I mean, talk about a generation gap.
Yeah, it's a big deal. And because Nancy Pelosi has for so many years frozen out any threats to her power, that has really prevented a new generation from rising up. Mm-hmm. And it has frustrated a lot of up-and-coming Democrats.
Let me get some calls in here. My board is lit up. Chris in Lewiston, Maine. Hi, Chris. You're on the air.
Hi. You know, I'm about as far left-wing liberal as you get. And I know Nancy Pelosi is an amazing leader, and she really, truly is probably the best person equipped to manage the House. But we Democrats, we're just insanely blind to optics. I mean, we need a new generation to come up. We need new blood to appear on the scene so that they can be the leaders of tomorrow. And right now, you can't name on one hand the new leaders other than Ocasio.
Who do you see? Who do you want in there, Chris?
Well, see, that's a problem. I don't know, because we just don't have anybody moving up the ladder.
All right, Chris, thank you. Let's get Donna in here from Charleston, New Hampshire. Hi, Donna, you're on the air.
Hi. I just want to say that I believe Nancy Pelosi is the most qualified candidate for Speaker of the House. I don't understand this idea that we need new blood. Nancy Pelosi brought us national health insurance. Mm-hmm. The other comment I want to make is that this is straight out of the Republican playbook of misogynistically vilifying very competent women, such as Hillary Clinton, and that this is the best thing that can possibly happen is to put her right in the face of that, because she can handle it.
Donna, thank you very much. Molly Ball, jump in here. You know, there's Chris, there's Donna, very different perspectives. Nancy Pelosi has been the Republican boogeyman or boogeywoman, if you will, for a long time. Is she a political liability at this point for some members in her caucus in the House?
I think she probably is. But I think your caller's really succinctly illuminated both sides of the argument here, because there's a couple of jobs that the Speaker of the House has. There's politics and there's policy. And when it comes to the politics, when it comes to being the face of the party, inspiring people, being dynamic, convincing people that Democrats are where it's at and that Democrats represent the future, Nancy Pelosi's probably not the best person for that. Mm-hmm. And I think actually former President Obama said a version of this last week. But when it comes to policy, when it comes to actually doing the perhaps lost art of actually legislating, getting a caucus to come together around the fine points of very complicated legislation, negotiating with Republicans, whether in the House or in the Senate or in the White House, it's actually pretty remarkable what she was able to get done with Republicans controlling all the branches of government, even in the House minority. She has secured all kinds of Democratic victories in the spending bills that have been enacted, protecting Democratic priorities and negotiating with Republicans. And the show she's putting on right now, showing how she can wear down her own members, give them what they want, negotiate with them, pick them off one by one, as she's done already with some of the signatories of this letter. It really shows that skill that she has for just doggedly getting stuff done, which isn't something that a lot of people in Washington know how to do anymore.
Here she is, Nancy Pelosi, on CNN State of the Union this weekend, telling host Dana Bash what she learned growing up in a political family in Baltimore.
One is to know how to count. That's very important. Count your votes to win the election. Count your votes to win a vote on the floor. But the other is listen to the constituents.
Listen to the constituents. Luke is in Savannah, Georgia. Luke, what do you think on this?
Well, my opinion, I've lived all over the world, and I don't see it in America like I see it in other countries. If you lose a devastating election, the general election to Trump, for example, why is there not new leadership coming forward? If the leadership of the Democratic Party was not able to pull off a general election, why are there not more new faces? It's mind-boggling.
You sound like Chris earlier. Luke, thank you so much. One more, David in Oklahoma City. Hi, David. You're on the air.
Hi, Jane.
Hi.
I look at Pelosi along the same lines as Hillary Clinton. Sadly, some of my Democratic friends and all of my Republican friends, when Hillary's mentioned it, oh, she's a crook, she's a criminal. And I'm like, give me an example. And they flounder. And I think that the Republican Party has so vilified Pelosi that people aren't even sure why she's being vilified. They just see her as evil. And she is the best thing. She might be the most successful member of Congress in terms of getting an agenda passed ever in the history of Congress.
So. David, thank you so much for the call. Molly Ball, just a few seconds left here. Boy, we run the gamut on those calls there on perspectives about Nancy Pelosi. What's the future here? Does she have the votes, do you think, at this point to become Speaker again?
Not yet, but she's getting pretty close, and it's starting to feel inevitable. You've heard some of the talk, and even Congressman Moulton in that clip, who was one of the most aggressive opponents of Pelosi for Speaker, has now said he's willing to negotiate with her. We'll see if she's willing to negotiate with him, but that's pretty much a capitulation.
Great explainer. And Molly Ball, thank you so much for your time. National political correspondent for Time magazine in Washington. Molly, thanks so much.
Thank you for having me.